speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
Tonight I want us to talk about how to change a city. Good people, we live in a world today that is indeed very challenging, and it seems to be getting worse as each day passes by. Immorality is a universal problem, and this is nothing new. We understand is that sin entered into the world through one man, Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, and that one man, meaning that it came through the sin of Adam and Eve whenever they sinned against God in the Garden of Eden. And we also understand that from that point forward, sin had its place in the world. In fact, in the days of Noah, every thought and intent of man's heart was evil continually, and that's why God desired to destroy the earth and to start over, if you would. We know as we read through the Old Testament Scripture that Israel and the nations round and about them were caught up in idolatry, that is, the worship of man-made gods. They were caught up in fornication, illicit sexual acts that were unauthorized by God. These people were covetous people. They were after their neighbor's goods. And good people, that has moved forward even unto this very age. America is a place that is very immoral, and having the opportunity to go abroad and to preach and to teach the gospel of Christ in Australia and New Zealand, we have seen there that the people there deal with all sorts of immorality, and it is indeed a universal problem, as what you and I are very much aware of. Corrupt leaders are in rule of the world. Good people, government was established by God, Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. But yet at the same time, when we look to our current situation here in the United States, we find that a majority, it seems, do not believe in God. And whenever it comes to our God's Word, they do not respect God's Word or revere it as the inspired, inerrant Word of God. They do not allow God's Word to guide their judgment as well as to guide us as a country. In fact, we are finding here in our present age in this country is that people have a disdain for Christianity. If you are a Christian, oftentimes you are spoken illy against. But yet at the same time, our God wants you and me to understand is that that is not His desire. But still, we are facing these things in this country. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 12, we learn, he says, that it is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne established by righteousness. It was by the righteousness of God that leaders have an ability as well as that opportunity to rule. But yet at the same time, as you and I are very much aware, we are in a situation today in this country where we have corrupt leaders in charge. Evil dwells within our local society. Listen to what the Scripture says. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Good people, as you and I look here in our local community, we find is that people no longer revere God. The people who maybe once in their ancestry had a belief in God, we're finding in our local community that that is no longer the case. Why? The Scripture also tells us that unreasonable and wicked men lack a faith. And because of the fact that they have do not have faith in God, evil is a very vital part of their everyday walk of life. Liberalism threatens our very existence as Christians. And this, again, is nothing new. We understand that the church in the first century faced persecution by the hand of Rome and others. And yet at the same time, today we're facing much of the same. Why is that? What's the motive to all of this? Hatred. The world hated our Lord and Savior, and because the world hated our Savior in like figure, the world is going to hate us when we take a stand for God. And God tells us as Christians that we must never give up. We must continue to trust in God, to allow our faith in God to abound, to be rooted and grounded in who God is as well as in His truth. And don't worry about the things that this world has to offer. Why? Because God will make certain that we have all that we need to sustain life here and to be successful, if you would, from a Christian standpoint, as long as we trust in Him and as long as we put our hands to the work. And we need to concern ourselves with laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And for that reason, no matter what we face, to press on for the prize of the high calling that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And in the same token, we need to also focus upon changing the world that we live in. How do we do that? By one soul at a time. There's a lesson we learn from our scripture reading tonight, and in fact through the context of the entire book of Jonah, in regard to this man Jonah and what it was that he faced during the time in which he was commissioned to go into the Ninevites. The book of Jonah is about a man and a city and our God. It identifies this man Jonah and how that his fear is greater than his faith. He should have had faith and trust in God, but yet at the same time he allowed his fear to dictate, to govern, and to lead him away from God. It is about the future of Nineveh, how that they were evil, and yet God was very patient with them, and God wanted them to repent, and if they would repent, and whenever they did repent, God would relent. He would change his mind and not destroy them, but yet at the same time, if they did not, then certainly they would be destroyed. It is about following God, how that Jonah must follow the directions of God, but also how Nineveh, if they want to live, if they want to continue on, they in like figure must follow our God. You know, as we think in regard to Nineveh was a very large and great city. In fact, the term great or exceedingly great is used time and again in the context. And as Jonah then in the second point where he goes into the city, the scripture identifies unto us is that through the city was about a 3 days journey. And concerning the population, there were more than, the context actually tells us, more than 120,000 souls there in Nineveh. That's a lot of people under consideration here in regard to their evil and wickedness. They were engaged in extreme cruelty. History reveals concerning cities like Sodom and Gomorrah, Athens and Corinth, is that these cities were places that evil abound, that evil found its roots, and that it influenced even the Lord's church. All good people, we understand in regard to Nineveh is that they were absolutely no exception. It is said concerning the Ninevites is that whenever they had captured their enemy, that they would fillet them alive. It's said that they knew more about the body with the skin off than with the skin on. They were a very cruel people, did not have a respect for their fellow man. God planned to destroy them. Why? Because of their evil, because of the fact that they were wicked, because they did not have a regard for their fellow man, and they did not really care about our God. But yet at the same time, as you read through the context, the Scripture reveals unto us is that one man made a change. Whenever this one man did what God commanded him to do, to go in and to cry out into the city, to plead with them, to beg unto them that they would repent, this one man, because of his efforts, was able to change the direction that this city went at that given time. What are some lessons that you and I can learn in regard to Jonah and what he faced? Good people, you and I, as Christians, we must not run from the opportunities that God lays before us. Here, God had commanded Jonah to go unto Nineveh. And instead of going to Nineveh, the Scripture tells us that he fled and he went to Tarshish. Why did he flee and go to Tarshish? Good people, the Scripture says he fled from the presence of the Lord. He wanted to go away from where God was going to be. God was going to be with him there in Nineveh. That tells us a lot. That God wasn't only asking or telling Jonah to go, but God was going to meet him there. He was going to work with him in order for him to accomplish this. But yet, he fled from the presence of the Lord. He went to Tarshish, and scholars say that Tarshish was in the area likely of Spain, some 1,500 to possibly even 2,500 miles away from Nineveh. Jonah fled from the opportunities that God had given him here to go into Nineveh. And good people, we understand that Jonah is not alone in regard to the commandments that God gives and the opportunities that God lays before people to go. In fact, during the days of Israel, God spoke unto Isaiah and God needed someone to go for him, and he has delivered before Isaiah that he needed a messenger, and Isaiah spoke up in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, "Here am I, Lord, send me. We move forward into the New Testament Scripture, and the Apostle Paul came to understand that he had been chosen by God as a chosen vessel to preach unto the Gentiles. And whenever this man learned the error of his way, and he is converted to Christ, he confessed Christ to be the Son of God and submitted himself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, he didn't turn back. He did not hesitate. He marched forward to make certain that he fulfilled what God expected out of him. And as Christians today, our God lays upon us the Great Commission. We live in a world that needs to hear about God. The only way in which they're going to be able to come to our God is through Jesus Christ. And it is very important for you and me as Christians to understand that God is striving to use us in service in His kingdom to reach the lost of this world. And God implores, God challenges us as Christians then to go and to seek and to save the lost as Jesus Christ our Lord did. If we are going to change a city, one soul at a time, good people, we must not run from the opportunities that our God presents unto us. But then, too, we need to be confident that God is going to help us, that God is indeed going to be there with us and for us. Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. Jonah was very hesitant to go. Why? Why did he not want to go? Good people, certainly we see that he had right to fear them if they were guilty of filleting people alive. And such cruel acts as this, no doubt our minds would say, yes, I can see why he was hesitant. But yet at the same time, he is receiving this charge from God, the Creator of all things. And for that reason, he should have had faith and trust in God to have continued on. But you know, he's not alone. Remember Moses? Moses was given the charge to go unto the children of Israel and to lead them out. And what did Moses do? The people, he made all kinds of excuses. God, who am I to go? God, I'm not one of eloquent speech. And yet at the same time, good people, we need to have confidence in God. Why should we have confidence in God? Number one, because of who He is, but also our God has blessed each and every one of us immensely in our life with talents. Talents that we are able to understand that we have, as well as talents that as we use them, God blesses us even with greater talents. And not only does He give us talents, He places before us opportunities as He did Jonah, as He did Moses and others throughout the Scripture. God opens doors for us, and you and I need to have confidence that God is going to be there with us and for us as we move forward to accomplish the task that He sets in front of us. But then in like figure, we need to tell the people that we have those chances to speak with the truth about where they stand with God and about His plan of salvation. Jonah, because he fled from the presence of the Lord, as was in our Scripture reading, as he was on the ship headed toward Tarsus, a great storm came up. We know where that storm came from, don't we? It was God. Whatever you don't do, what God commands you to do, there are storms in life that are even greater than the storms that we face as Christians. Why? Because we don't have God there with us and for us. And Jonah understood that he was responsible for that great storm that had come up upon not only him, but upon others. And that's another thing. Whenever we don't do what God commands us to do, it doesn't only affect us. It affects our family. It affects the church. As Jonah admits what it is that he has done, then he faces the consequence that he's got to be thrown over out of the ship. And of course, God had prepared a great fish. And he spent 3 days in the belly of that fish, and he had time to consider what it is that God wanted him to do. He had time to think about the situation that he was in. And good people, whenever he had come to his senses and finally determined that he would do what God wanted him to do, then the Scripture tells us that God charged that fish to vomit him out upon dry land. And when he then is given the order again to go into Nineveh, he did not hesitate. He arose, he went. And when he went in, good people, the Scripture tells us that he cried out unto them that yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He was very blunt with the people of that day. He, no doubt, I think, in the back of his mind, he was maybe still wishing that God had not sent him. and maybe that they would not listen to the message, but still, He told them exactly the situation that they were in. And the people that you and I have an opportunity and an obligation and a privilege to speak to about their relationship with God, we need to be frank with them. We need to be honest with them and to tell them that the sin that they commit in their life separates them from God. And unless they obey Christ in baptism, they are going to be lost. We need to tell them the gospel message. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." As Paul was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, or 2 Timothy chapter 3 rather, in verse 15, he says that the Holy Scripture is able to make one wise unto salvation. God's Word must be taught to the lost and dying world. Jesus Himself said in the book of John chapter 8 and verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." The truth is able to set one free from the guilt as well as the consequences of sin if individuals will repent, change their life. Notice what Jesus said concerning the truth in John chapter 17 and verse 17. "Sanctify them by Thy truth. Thy Word is truth." The Word of God is the truth that's able to set man free. But note what He says in the context. Sanctification is possible through the Word. That word "sanctify" in the Greek language means to set apart. It's able to set people apart from the sin of the world, from the doom that the world faces outside of God, and to set us apart unto a special service, a holy service in a righteous way unto our God. As you and I have opportunities, we need to be confident of our God and the promises He makes unto us, and we need to tell people the truth about God's plan of salvation. And we need to stay committed unto the mission. Jonah, in the forefront, was not committed, but yet on the second end of this, as he goes into the city, he knows that it is a 3 days' journey. He knows that there's more than 120,000 souls there that he has that opportunity and responsibility to communicate God's will unto them. And he follows through. And good people, you and I must also follow through with the commission that God lays upon us. You go through the Old Testament Scripture, we find that Noah preached for some 120 years. And was he committed to that? Most certainly he was. Why? Because he was committed to God in doing what God commands man to do. We also know, as we've already mentioned, Moses. Moses was a man who was summoned by God to go and to lead Israel out and to trust in Him all the way. But we know the mistake that Moses made. He was commanded by God to speak to the rock, to bring forth water, and yet at the same time, what did he do? He smote the rock, and it still brought forth water, and Israel was satisfied, but God was not. Why? Because he had disobeyed the commandments of God, and based out of what Moses and Aaron did in disobedience, Moses was not allowed to enter into the promised land, and Aaron was stripped of his priestly garments. Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 and following. But in the New Testament, we have a beautiful example of the Apostle Paul, a man who was committed to God, a man who lived his life fully after his conversion to follow through with a mission that God laid upon him. 3 missionary journeys and at least one journey to Rome. Good people, in this man gave his all to do what God commanded him to do. Why? Paul said himself that it would be unprofitable for him if he had preached to others, but yet he himself became a castaway. If he had failed in his mission to stay committed unto the will of God in all that God expected of him to do. And then, as God gives us the victories in life, as God gives us those souls that are sincerely seeking Him, as these individuals become obedient, and as we change the world one soul at a time, bringing them out of the kingdom of the world and bringing them into the kingdom of God, the eternal kingdom. Good people, we need to praise our God. Why? Because God is the one who gives the increase. If you look to the context with Jonah, after Nineveh, repented and God relented, what do we find this man doing? He didn't praise God, but rather, good people, he sat in his own sorrow because he was displeased. The context would reveal that that Nineveh had repented. You and I need to rejoice whenever souls put Christ on in baptism, and we need to give our God the praise and the glory for the work that He does in our everyday walk of life. How do you change the world? Good people, you change the world by changing it one soul at a time and by walking according to the will of God. Tonight we ask, do you allow God to have control of your life? Is God in control of your life? Do you own Him as the God, the Creator of all things? And have you accepted His Son to be your Savior? If not, we want to invite you with His call.